This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. Like many of our listeners, the Lake Effect team has been working from home the past few months. And while we sit at our kitchen tables, our couches, or our closets, our office building is relatively dormant. Most workers have been sent home, leaving our cubicles and offices empty. And while the transition has been difficult for some employees, some people and companies are hoping to make working from home a permanent solution. So what would that mean for the many office buildings we have here in the Milwaukee area? Tom Dakin is a reporter who covers commercial real estate for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he's a regular Lake Effect contributor. He joins me to talk about the future of office buildings. Tom, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thank you for having me, Joy.
So I think like a lot of people, I've been working from home for the last couple of months. And while we've been doing that, our office buildings have been laying dormant. How has the pandemic seemed to impact the demand for office buildings in general, just in this short time period?
Well, it's definitely slowed down demand for space, for newly constructed space and space that's newly available. With the stay-at-home order, of course, people were working at home, and I think there were prospective office tenants out there that were looking at newer buildings that were pausing those efforts because they wanted to see what would happen. That started in mid-March. I think we're what now in mid-May. Within the last couple of weeks, I think some of that demand is now returning, particularly with the stay-at-home order no longer in effect because of the Wisconsin Supreme Court decision. And so there are tenants now out looking again. But in the meantime, we've had this major decline to our economy, higher unemployment, which, of course, has the effect of dampening overall demand for various forms of commercial real estate, including office space.
So right now, how many office buildings are under construction in the Milwaukee area?
Well, there are a couple different office buildings under construction, but many of those are single-use office buildings. So, for example, Landmark Credit Union is building its new headquarters in Brookfield. I'm sure a lot of your listeners see it when they're driving past on I-94 near Moreland Road. But that's just for Landmark Credit Union. That's not a developer building a building and then leasing out space to multiple tenants. Another project similar to that would be down in the Harbor District, where Komatsu is about to begin construction of their new corporate campus. They've been pulling building permits lately, and that's about to start. The multi-tenant office buildings that are under construction, the most prominent would be the BMO Harris Tower, which just finished in April, and that's downtown on Water Street right next to City Hall. And it is about 55% leased, BMO Harris, of course, being the anchor tenant, along with the Michael Best Friedrich Law Firm and then a couple of other tenants. And while the developer, Mark Ergens, has 55% of the space leased, I was in that building about a few weeks ago when it finally finished construction, and there were maybe a couple dozen employees in that building that will eventually house well over 1,000 people once it's fully occupied. And of course, that's because BMO Harris and Michael Best and Friedrich are still, by and large, have their people working remotely. Now, they'll eventually be moving in, and they're paying rent in the meantime. But for now, that building is quite empty.
Are developers and, you know, the owners of these buildings, especially the, you know, multi-business buildings, are they concerned about the future of their business?
Well, I think, of course, any developer would be concerned when we're entering a period of a recession. That'll be the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression. I don't care what you're developing, whether it's apartments or office space or retail space, there's going to be concerns there. And then, of course, you throw into it for the office buildings the phenomena of working at home. What happens if we decide, hey, let's continue working at home even after we don't have to, once the pandemic concerns dissipate? There have been some indications that at least some tenants are looking in that direction. New York Times reported recently that three of Manhattan's largest office tenants, these are big banks like JPMorgan Chase, have said that once the pandemic lifts, they are not going to be putting all their workers back in office buildings. Now, having said that, Milwaukee ain't Manhattan. We don't have that kind of extreme density in our inner downtown. We don't have anywhere near that reliance on mass transit that would raise greater concerns of spreading the coronavirus or any future illness. So the effects here, I don't think, are going to be as great. But it's still a concern. I mean, if you've got an employer that sees its employees working at home and maintaining similar levels of productivity, and you're saving costs, you can see where the tendency would be to continue that practice. Now, I would say over the last roughly 5 years or so, the stories that I've been writing about office space have been largely, or to a great degree, about employers moving from the suburbs to downtown and near downtown Milwaukee neighborhoods. And in doing so, one of the reasons has been to better retain and attract younger employees who want to be in and around downtown. The other kind of common theme in all those transactions has been to find space that can be designed for people to better collaborate and work together. And you do that with fewer cubicles, fewer private offices, and more open space. So then the question becomes, how do you continue that trend that employers like? They want to have their employees working together and innovating and coming up with those ideas that you sometimes only get through impromptu meetings or face-to-face encounters. How do you continue those things and still maintain the social distancing and the things we need to do to fight the spread of the coronavirus? That's what becomes the challenge. Those aren't necessarily contradictory goals, but they do become more complicated because of the pandemic.
Are developers looking at physical changes to these spaces to make them easier to work in a post-pandemic setting?
Yes, they are. One immediate thing, let's go back to the BMO Tower. When I was there, even though the office space is open and you've got a few employees from some of those tenants in there, the fitness center is closed. The conference room, the common shared conference room, is closed. So for now, those kinds of things are off limit. Those are some of the more temporary measures. On, I think, a more long-term basis, what you're going to see is, well, again, the new office tower, the BMO Tower, has a touchless elevator system. Now, that was installed just as a matter of course. That's kind of the new technology. But that helps. You have fewer people touching a common area. It has a very high-end ventilation system, so that helps circulate air better and keep a building and its people healthier. You have things like that. And then I think you're getting more purposeful things into some of the new space that's being designed. For example, at River One, which is a multi-use development featuring hotel apartments and offices down in the Harbor District. This is on the Kinnickinnick River at First and Beecher Streets. The office building is right now under construction. It won't be done until the end of the year, but the developers, while they haven't gone into details yet, are looking at doing some things there that would help combat the spread of the pandemic. Again, boosting, enhancing that ventilation system, designing elevators in a way that touchless, perhaps some motion-activated restroom doors so you don't have to touch those going in and out of restrooms. In some cases, maybe you have the stairwells made wider so people will use the stairwells without having to pass close to one another. I would also say a building like that in the Harbor District, and you have other buildings like that out in the suburbs, are mid-rise buildings. And in that case, taking the stairwells is much more of an option than a building that, say, is a 25-story tower. So you do have some design work going on by the developers in conjunction with their architects at some of these projects.
For older buildings that are looking at, you know, tenants returning to their spaces, what are some of the challenges that they face as they look to, again, a post-pandemic future?
Well, one thing that both they and the newer buildings, particularly larger ones, the towers, may have to do is try and work with their tenants to have staggered work schedules. Let's say you have an office tower that normally has a daytime headcount of, let's pull a number out of the air, 1,500 people. You don't necessarily want all 1,500 people arriving roughly around the same time, say between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. And I think there might be an attempt to coordinate with tenants to say, well, can your people start, say, one third of them at 8, one third of them at 9, one third of them at 10, something like that. That would also be within the interests of the tenants, too, I suspect, because that way what you're doing is you're preventing lining up at elevators. That's going to be the big choke point in these office towers, I think, is the elevators. So in older buildings, I think you're going to be seeing some measures like that. And then, of course, to some extent, you're going to see what we see now when you go to Walmart or your local supermarket, taped off spaces saying, okay, here's 6 feet from these various locations. Let's try to be conscious of that and maintain it. I'd love to own stock in a company that makes blue masking tape right now.
All right. Well, Tom Dakin, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Okay. Thank you.
Tom Dakin covers commercial real estate for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he's a regular Lake Effect contributor. You can find more of our conversations with him at WUWM.com.